This is such a great place to be on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I can't think of a better one, and I know that you feel the same way. I'm thankful today for so many things. You know, it's been 20 plus years that I've been honored to be in this church, and in my list of thankfulness, that's right up toward the top. I'm grateful for a place that would put up with me all those years. I'm grateful that this has been a place I've been able to raise my family in godly ways and see them follow in those paths. I'm grateful for lots of things, but you know, when I thought about one of the things, or the thing that I should be most thankful for, there was no contest. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. The passage of Scripture is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. I know it'll be a familiar passage to you. The Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for this morning for the blood of Jesus and that it covers my sin, because I have done my best to test that thing. But I have found every time that He is faithful and He is just to forgive me of my sins, as it says in 1 John 1:9. The Bible is a book of blood. The Bible, if you want to turn that around, it is a bloody book. The word blood appears over 700 times in God's Word. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning that there are voices crying out in the wilderness of these modern times saying that the blood of Jesus is repulsive to the educated mind. They say that it is gory to speak of a fountain that's filled with blood that is drawn from Emmanuel's veins. They're taking it out of hymn books and they're trying to take it out of the Bible through revision after revision after revision. I will never forget several years back going to one of the music conferences that I went to. And one of the fellows who helped write some of the songs that we have sung even since Brother Andrew has been here and doing such a great job. But I remember one song called "Nothing But the Blood." And there was a music director there who shared this with Randy Vader, that he had gotten that phone call that said, "Randy, my pastor has told me that in the musical you have placed that song in, we're not allowed to sing it, that it might be repulsive to some of those folk that come in from the community, and he wants me to change it to 'Nothing But the Love of Jesus.'" And Randy advised him not to do it, not to take the word blood out. So they sang that musical that night, and they sang to the congregation about nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that the next day he was fired. He was fired for singing about the blood. Well, we have minimized and taken the virus out of sin. We have taken the deity out of Christ. We have taken the inspiration out of revelation. We have taken the blood out of atonement. We have taken the fire out of hell. We have taken the supernatural out of religion. We have taken the location out of heaven. And we have taken the integrity out of Scripture. Well, bless God, let it be said of me, I may be fired tomorrow, but I believe in this book. I believe that my Father is God Almighty. I know it, and I know that I know it. And you know how I know it? Because I can feel Him inside. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And you know what else I know? I know He lives by the smile I see on some of y'all's faces. You have walked the walk. You have talked the talk. And you have lived to tell about it. And it's all because of this blood that we're going to share with you this morning. In Lee's official report of the Battle of Fredericksburg, it is told that only one person below the rank of Major General is mentioned. And that is a young officer of the artillery, whom Lee speaks of as the gallant Pelham. He fell in the Battle of Brandy Station on March the 17th, 1863. His West Point and Army comrades always remembered his fine figure, his bright face, and his beautiful spirit. After the battle, his body was taken home to his widowed mother in Alabama as they bore him up the lane to his mother's home. The moon was full. Her still light lay while upon the way by the cotton fields that he knew so well, and the white on the roof and in the doorway of his home. His mother stood waiting for him on the doorstep, and as they bore him up to her, she whispered through falling tears, "Washed in the blood of the Lamb that was slain." Happy reunion, because one day that mother's going to meet her son once again. I want to tell you this morning that according to what God's word says, there is a progression of sacrifice in the Bible. Abel offered up one lamb, and when he offered up that lamb, he offered it for the sins of one man. Time goes on, and Moses once again offers up one lamb, but this time that one lamb is for the sins of one family. Time goes on. Aaron offers up one lamb, but this time that one lamb is for the sins of an entire congregation. The time goes on, and the high priest one day offers up one lamb, but this time that lamb is offered up for the sins of one nation. But I'm here to tell you today that time also went on, and God offered up one lamb. And when he offered up that lamb, he offered it up for the sins of the entire world, and that includes you and me. No wonder we sing, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Friends, I want to tell you this morning that we're not talking about any run-of-the-mill type of blood. We're talking about special blood. This is a very, very special blood. It is not like the blood that came about from the plagues that flowed through the Nile River. As much of it as it was, it's more special than even that. This blood is not like the blood that flowed from the beasts that were slain at the temple dedication when Solomon offered up 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. This is special blood. It is not like the blood that flowed from the babies when Herod slew them, nor is it like the blood that flowed when Titus Vespasian crucified 500 Jews a day for 6 months. The blood that we're talking about this morning is the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all righteousness. So I'm here to tell you this morning that special blood, that precious blood, has some potent power. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." I am grateful today that the blood of Jesus has the power to redeem. Christ redeemed us by his death on the cross. I'll always hold near and dear to me the story of that father and his son who were doing work together, and one day they decided they'd try to build something. I know you've heard the story before, but it fits so well. That father and that son got together and they started whittling out the bottom part of a boat. They finally got the mast set and they got the piece of material and they made a beautiful sailboat. And they were so excited, and that boy, he said, "I just got to do something. I've got to do something to sail my sailboat." So he goes down to the creek that flowed into the river, and he set that boat down in that water, and it started floating. It did not sink. And he was so excited, but then the wind started picking up, and it kind of got further away from him than he wanted it to get. He started running along the banks of the river, and it got further and further, and finally it was so fast and it got crashed in the waves, and it was lost. The boy was dejected because that which he and his father had made was gone. He went back to see his dad and just cried on his shoulder. A couple days later, they decided they would go to town and just see what they could see. They were walking down Main Street, the story goes, and as they walked along, suddenly the boy's eyes lit up, and he looked, and in the store window was one, not just one, but it was his boat, that boat that he had made himself with his father's hands. He got excited. He jumped up and down, and he told his daddy, look, daddy, it's my boat. And so they walk inside, and the store owner says, well, it could be. I found it out on the river yesterday, and I brought it in because it looks so good. And so they decided that it was worth something to them, so they paid the man the amount that he wanted for that boat, and he walked out with it. The boy had it wrapped closely around his breast, and the boy was heard to say, you're my boat. I made you, and I bought you back. Guess what? That's us. We have been made by a loving God who provides for us more than we could ever begin to think we deserve. But not only did he make us, but we went our own separate ways, and we fell into sin, and we did because of the world that we live in. But Jesus loves us so much that he bought us back. Amen. Boy, I'm glad of that, aren't you? I am glad that he bought us back and he holds us close to him. Oh yes, friend, the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to redeem. There's another passage of scripture I want to share with you that kind of goes along with that. It's found over in the Psalms, chapter 22, verse 6. The Bible says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Now, in this passage of Scripture, the word that is used for worm is T-O-L-A, it's tola, and it is similar to a Mexican worm called the cochineal. And the cochineal, it feeds on those cactus plants and those things that are down there. Then they're taken, those cochineal worms are taken and they are crushed because the juices and the fluids within them make those tremendously bright clothing that we see and wear sometimes. Beautiful, bright colors from Mexico. And let it remind us today that just like that cochineal worm had to be crushed so that the fluids from its body could be made into those beautiful clothes, Jesus also had to be crushed in death so that you and I can be clothed in righteousness. I don't know about you, but I kind of get the picture when I think about that of a beggar in king's clothing, because that's what I am. I am nothing more than a beggar, and I've been clothed in righteousness because of my king. There's another verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. Well, not only does the blood of Jesus Christ have the power to redeem, but I'm thankful today that the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse. It has the power to cleanse us of our sin, and that's something we can certainly be thankful for. You ever noticed the choruses that we see in the book of Revelation of Jesus to John? It is the story of Christ crowned. Frank Hadaway shared this with the choir several weeks back, and it's so good. This is kind of a version of it. It begins in chapter 1 of Revelation. John has begun to write down his history of what came to him when he was on the Isle of Patmos. All at once, John gets the vision of the face of Jesus. You ever got that vision, folks? I know some of you have, but when you get a vision of Jesus, your life will never be the same. So John gets a vision of the face of Jesus, and suddenly he burst out. Now, y'all remember I do music. I always done music. I always be in me, so I get to use music terms. It's allowed. Okay? So John burst out in a ringing solo, and it's found in the major key. He says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, and that song rings out through the chapters until you get to chapter 4. And suddenly, people are getting so excited about that blood of Jesus that there's a quartet, kind of like the quartet that was up here this morning. And they're called the Quartet of the Living Creatures. And listen with the ears of your heart and hear the quartet singing their song, taking it up with John. Then we get to chapter 5, which is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. There is what I call call the sextuple quartet, six times four. So the 24 leading men take up that song of the quartet, and the more voices you get singing that song, the louder it gets. And you can still hear the quartet singing way back yonder. The swinging into the front is the sextuple quartet of leaders taking up that same song, and back and forth and back and forth they sing it. Then as we move our way through the book of Revelation, as that music begins to soften in the distance, though you still hear it, bless God, there comes the angel chorus. John tries to count them. John was fairly well up in math, and he counted 10,000, and even though he may have had a postgraduate course in math, all figures on earth have to give out at some point in time, and so he simply threw his hands up and said, and thousands, works for me. The angel choir, there they are a great sea of faces. Oh, the singing sopranos and the contraltos, the deep rhythmic thunder of the bass, the ringing out of the tenors, back and forth, they take up the song, and they are singing the same song as before. I want to tell you, there is nothing like getting to lead a song with a choir singing. When they rear back and sing, and they have their voices going full, and they're excited about what they're doing, Brother Andrew knows what I'm talking about. It's an exciting thing, and just to feel that excitement, because of of what they're singing. One day we're going to hear it again. Then in the same chapter, there's the creation chorus. Now we do not think of creation singing, do we? Paul talked about creation groaning. He talked about creation travailing in pain. And we do not think of animals that sing. We know that birds do. Somebody said that all the sounds of creation, they're negative. They're really in the minor key. We speak of the sighing of the wind. We speak of the moaning of the doves. And we speak of the sighing of the sad sea waves. And yet they all offer up praise to God. By and by, that softens away as a new chorus swings in. And the minor key is deep and it touches our heart. It is the martyr's chorus of chapters 6 and chapter 7. They are scarred and they are maimed. And they show in their bodies the marks of their sufferings for the sake of Jesus. Oh, it deeply moves us. Can you imagine someone who has scars in their body and yet they still choose to offer up praise to Almighty God? Oh, what a blessing that is. That song takes hold of our hearts. And then by and by, as that softens away, there is the virgin's chorus of the pure ones, those who have been washed and made pure. They sing the song that nobody else can sing. Back and forth they sing until the very vaults of heaven seem shaken by the music of the pure. Then ultimately, as you turn to chapter 19, you will get the combined chorus. Boy, that's all of them, just like on a Gaither video when they come back and all do one last reprise. It's the Hallelujah chorus. Listen, the solo's in there. The quartet's in there. The sextuple quartet. The angels are in there. The creation is in there. The martyrs, the pure ones, all together they sing back and forth. And the question is, what are they singing? And if you listen closely with your hearts, you can hear them sing. Unto Him that loved us and washed us in His blood, we will crown Him, crown Him, crown Him Lord of all. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that choir. I want to be a part of lifting up praise to God Almighty in a setting like that. The blood of Jesus, oh, it has power. It has power to redeem. It has power to cleanse. But there's two more I want to share with you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The blood of Jesus has the power to justify. Justification is more than forgiveness. Justification is to be reckoned righteous. I'm grateful for that. It is good to be stripped of vile and stinking rags of our sins. It is far better to be clothed with garments of glory and beauty. heard this weekend that someone who had had their car totaled out, and they had gone, taken it to the shop and got it fixed, and it looked beautiful on the outside. And when that person went to receive their car, they were told that the inside had to be redone too because of something that had been spilled inside. And it had been so long that it had gone bad. And it actually stunk up the inside. So even though it looked good on the outside, it wasn't right till the inside was right. That's pretty good. I remember the story of a lady. Her name was Lily Mae. She played the organ. We don't hear many organists anymore. And so it was something good. And so Lily Mae had a talent to go and play the organ. And so she would take that outside the walls of the church. She loved little children. One day she had the opportunity to go to a group of handicapped children that were gathered together. And so there they were. And so they brought them to her home where the organ was so that they could hear her play. And she asked them, "Boys and girls, what is it that you would like to hear me play today?" There was a little tongue-tied boy there. And so he ran up and stuttered, "Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood." And so Lily Mae decided, well, that's a good request. And so she asked everyone who wanted to hear "Nothing but the blood" to raise their hand. So that little tongue-tied boy, he was the first one. He had his hand up. Then there was a little girl sitting in a wheelchair beside him, and she raised her hand as well. "I want to hear "Nothing but the blood." And she looked, and standing beside her wheelchair was a little girl whose arms hung limp. They would not raise. And so the little girl in the wheelchair lifted up another arm for that girl because she also wanted to hear "Nothing but the blood." Over on the other side, there was a little girl who didn't have any arms at all, just had nubs on both sides. And so she also wanted to hear "Nothing but the blood." A little further over, there was a little nearsighted boy who was trying his best to focus his eyes. And finally, he got them focused, and he saw everyone with their hands up in the air, and he immediately raised his arms to hear "Nothing but the blood." And so she fired into it, and she started playing, "What can wash away my sin?" And they all sang with her, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I'm told that as they sang that line, "What can make me whole again?" that Lily Mae got a vision of another day way out in the future, though even better than that particular day. And she said on that day she could see those children as they stood before Jesus Christ. And that little tongue-tied boy could talk plainly now. That little girl no longer needed a wheelchair to get around. And the little girl whose arms were nubs had a perfect set now. And the little boy who was nearsighted could plainly see. And she said in that vision, the Father says, "What can wash away your sins?" And she said that I could hear them all reply, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And I'm here to testify to that. He's the only one who can cleanse us of our sin. Well, one last thing I want to share with you, and then I'm done. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. It has power to cleanse us. It has power to redeem us. It has power to justify us. I'm so glad, though, that the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to take us to heaven. Be encouraged today that the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to take us to heaven. I'm told of a pastor who took a church to pastor in the Boston Commons. He was working on his sermon, so Saturday afternoon he needed a break, and so he walked out in the fields, and he came across a young boy who was one of his parishioners, and the little boy had a cage in his hand. Inside the cage, there was a bunch of field birds. and he was walking along. And the preacher was intrigued, so he said, "Son, what you got there?" And the boy said, "I got me a cage full of field birds." And he said, "I see that. What you going to do with them?" He said, "I'm going to play with them." And he said, "Well, that's okay. What you going to do when you get through with them?" And the boy said, "I'm going to feed them to the cat." Well, it sounded like an interesting proposition, but for some reason, the pastor's heart went out to that field, those field birds. And so he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do, son. I'll buy that cage from you." And the boy said, "Preacher, these are just ordinary field birds. There's nothing special about them. They're all out there. You can go out and catch your own cage full of them." He said, "Yeah, I know, but those just seem like they're special to me. I want that bunch of birds. Will you sell them to me?" And the little boy said, "Well, now, I don't want to be accused of swindling the preacher," but he named his price. And the preacher said, "I'll pay it." He reached in his pocket, paid the price, took the cage, and walked down the way just a little bit till he could find an alley. Cut up in the alley, and he opened the cage, and he said, "Fly out." And those birds just sat there like this. "They ain't flying out." So he wanted to do something to be a help to him. So he started patting on the back of the cage. "Fly out, fly out." One by one, those birds finally jumped up to the edge of the cage and flew out into God's blue heaven. The preacher shared the story the next day. And then he followed it up with this. One day in the expanse of heaven, Satan, that one we call Lucifer, walked through the expanse. And he came up upon God. And as they saw each other, God saw him. And he said, "Lucifer, what are you doing here?" And Lucifer said, "I got me a cage full of sinners." And God said, "Sinners? What do you got a cage full of sinners for?" He said, "Because they're mine, and I'll do with them what I want to do." The heart of God went out to that cage full of sinners. And he said, "Satan, so what really are you going to do with them?" He said, "I'm going to torture them. I am going to trick them. I am going to maim them." And he said, "What's the ultimate goal?" He said, "Eventually I'm going to take them to hell to burn forever." Jesus said, "Let me buy that cage from you." And Satan said, "Jesus, you don't want this cage full of sinners. They're useless. They're worthless. Why, if you buy this cage full of sinners, they'll mock you and make fun of you. Let me buy that cage full of sinners, Satan. Name your price." Satan said, "I'll take the silver of your tears and the gold of your blood." Jesus said, "Fine." Satan handed the cage to him and said, "I'll collect later." Jesus takes that cage. He walks down where he can put the cage down, and he opens the door up. But those sinners were just sitting there like this. They wouldn't fly out. They were afraid to. And Jesus knew that the only way that he could get any of those sinners to fly out was to go down himself. So he did. And he died on a cross. And I'm here to tell you that when he went down to the face of the earth, and as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, someone shook him against the ground. He looked up to see that it was Satan. And Satan said, "I've come to collect my price." The next day, Jesus paid it by offering up the gold of his blood and the silver of his tears. But when he paid it, friends, that cross protruded out through that cage door to stick it that way forever and forever and forever. And I'm here to tell you that on February the 2nd, 1979, Bill Britton, one of those sinners, hopped up on the edge of that cage because I heard somebody tapping on the end of it saying, "Fly out, sinner, fly out, sinner." And you know what? I invited Jesus into my heart, and I flew out into God's blue heaven. And along the way, I've been singing a song. And that song is, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed. Praise God, his child, and forever I am. The question is, what about you? Have you ever trusted in that blood? I'm here to tell you that it has the power to take you all the way to heaven. It has the power to cleanse you of any sin that may have stained you along the way. And it has the power to justify you. I would like to encourage you this morning that if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, today is the day. But maybe you trusted in him and you've just kind of forgotten. Great teacher from a church I served at one time, bald-headed as he could be. I preached a message on the blood similar to what I preached this morning. He came down to the altar at the invitation time and wept his eyes out. When the invitation was over, he remained there. His name was Norval. And I said, went over to him. I said, Brother Norval, can I help you with something? He just looked up, and when he came up, there were tears streaming down his face. And he said, Brother Bill, I just want to thank you for reminding me of the cost. Maybe this morning, you just need to be reminded of the cost. It was not a cheap price that was paid for our salvation. It took the gold of his blood and the silver of his tears. So the question is, what will you do with that today? In just a moment, Brother Andrew's going to come and share with us the invitation and encourage you to sing along with us. The altars will be open. I'll be standing down front. If there's any decision that you need to make for Jesus Christ, don't put it off. Maybe you need to come and join, unite with this church. Today would be a great day to do that. Whatever God leads you to do, I would encourage you to do that while he is speaking. Father, I thank you for this day and this time that we have to share together. And Father, I just pray that you will be glorified in all that is done now. And I pray, Father, that people will respond to you the way you have led them. And for that, we will be careful to praise you. We lift this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing together.